In tonight's shiur, I hope we're going to cover two paragraphs in Sichas Aran that are of extreme importance. The first one seemingly on a Gashmias level, and the second one on Ruchnias. And both of them are going to be speaking about the most significant items in their field. Most people would say, if they were asked, what's the most significant basic item in the Olam HaGashmi, it's money. And if a person were asked, what's the most significant basic item in the Olam HaRuchni, it's emuna, faith. And in the two paragraphs that we're going to cover in this shiur, Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to cover some very important information related to both. First, we begin with the paragraph Resh Pei Aleph, 281. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hoyomazhir Ma'oid, Rabbeinu Zal warned his students and those that would accept his advice in the strictest of terms, Sheyishmoir Ha'odom Es Mamoinoi, Bishmira Gedoila Uma'ula Ma'oid, that a person should watch over their money very carefully, with the utmost of care and zihirus, to be very protective and very watchful and very careful. Vahoyomakbid ma'oid alzeh. And Rabbeinu Zal was very strict about this. The Torah speaks in many places about not being a kapton, about a person not getting upset about things and not taking things to too much of an extreme. It's brought that about this item in particular, Rabbeinu Zal was very makbid. Vahoyomisloitzetz umakbid al elu hoanoshim hamisatzlim. Rabbeinu Zal would make fun of and speak very angry words at those people who were careless. The word misatzlim over here means people that were careless. Shekoyrim beloshen Yiddish, shlumizalnik. People that acted like schlumps, the English word schlumps. And Rabbeinu Zal, in this case, where we know that it's considered so serious an item not to make fun of a Jew, not to insert a Jew, not to hurt a Jew, not to insult a Jew, not to hurt a Jew, here Rabbeinu Zal dove in for the kill. If he saw any of his Talmidim was careless with money, and as a result they lost money, he would be very strict in making them feel a bite for this. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, based on Rabbeinu Zal's words, because the amount of time that a person takes away from the study of Torah and from davening in order to earn money, in order to support his house, that time is very precious. Time is life. And again, the Torah says, Yesh koine oilomoi b'shoa achas, that a person who spends an hour learning Torah can receive an entire oilom haba just for that hour. Or a person certainly who spends an hour in hispoidus speaking Tashem, tefillah, words from their heart, that person could certainly receive oilom haba just on that 1 hour alone. So that if a person feels responsible enough to their family and to themselves to take 7 or 8 hours out of the day, take it away from Torah and away from tefillah and use it for working, for parnosa, for earning money. And then afterwards, when they get that money and they get hold of it, the person is careless and they don't watch over it carefully and they lose it, that's considered a very bad type of crime. Because Rabbeinu Zal said that the kimomoin kosher shel ish ha-Yisraeli tzorech shmira kemoi ayin sheberoish. The kosher money of a Jew who goes out and works for a living and earns his own money and meisers it, and that money now is kodesh, that money is to be respected and to be treated as carefully as one watches over their eye. The eye is considered one of the most delicate, sensitive parts of the human body. That's how sensitive and careful a person should be about money that they've earned. And Rav Nosson Zal repeats, "Ubechol eis shenizdamein she'echot me'anoshov nevadetzloi eze sach momoin baderech." Any time that one of Rabbeinu Zal's students or followers, anybody that knew him, would tell him of an incident that they had where they lost a sum of money while they were traveling, as is customary, a person loses a suitcase, a person loses this or that, v'hoyoboim b'kublano lefonov, and they would come to Rabbeinu Zal feeling upset and feeling bad, hoyomevaze u'moichiach oisoi ma'oid alzeh. Rabbi Elazar would insult them, and he would reprimand them very much, ma'oid, very much, al shelo nizharu b'shmiroso yofer, over the fact that the person wasn't careful enough. He didn't judge lekaf schurus. Rabbi Elazar didn't say, don't feel so bad. He didn't say, maybe it wasn't your fault. He went in very strongly with cannon fire to make us realize how serious an item this is. And again, note the wording here. Mevaze, to be mevaze, a Jew, we know is one of the most cardinal crimes. And the word ma'oid, very much, these are words that Rabbi Elazar generally did not like. Judaism does not have too many ma'oids in it. There's no such thing as very in Judaism. Very is treif. The pasuk says, "Vehine toiv ma'oid." On one of the days when Hashem created the world, it says, "Vayara likimis kol asherosa, vehine toiv ma'oid." Hashem saw everything that He had created, and it was very good. The Gemara says, "Very good." That's the day on which the Malach HaMavis was created. The angel of death is referred to by this term, "very extreme," and yet when it came to this subject, when it came to dealing with money, Rabbi Elazar was this serious. He didn't play Hasidic Rebbe. He didn't play mysticism. He was very ma'asi, very tachlis, to the point that this is something that a Jew gives away a major section of his life for, to earn a livelihood. How dare we not be careful that once that money comes into our hands at such great risk and through such effort and the type of Yeshua that a person has to have from Hashem in order to receive Parnosa, the Gemara says, Koshem is Einoisov Shalodom Kikriyas Yamsuf. That for a Jew to have kosher money in his hands, that takes as major a miracle as Kriyas Yamsuf, as the splitting of the Red Sea. So it's a major event when a Jew comes upon some money in a legitimate way. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar didn't take this lightly, and he was as strict and as harsh as he could possibly be in reprimanding us, in speaking to us about this item. These are the words in Sichas Aran regarding this item. There's a short paragraph in Likutei Halachos Choshen Mishpat. Rav Nosson Zal brings this up, refers to this paragraph a few times. But there's one particular paragraph that I wanted, usually we don't like reading from the Sefer inside. There are many people that are turned off by that. But I think that the wording here is simple enough and it's serious enough that it's worth noting every word here like a precious diamond, just to hear the way Rav Nosson Zal, a tzaddik of this stature, speaking about watching one's money. Rav Nosson Zal writes, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Aveda Umetzia, Halocha Gimel, Paragraph Yud. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Ki be'emes tzorech kol odom lizoher ma'oid lishmor mamoinoi v'chafotzov ki be'basayin. Because the fact is that a Jew is obligated to be very careful to watch their money and all of their belongings, their shirt, their sweatshirt, their pants, their glasses, anything that's any chafetzim that belong to a person or that belong to one's parents or that belong to a family, person has to watch over it like the pupil of their eye. Kasher hiziranu admor zal alze kam upon him, as Rabbi Elazar warned us about this many times. Ki af al pi shetayvas momoin meguna ma'oid, even though it's brought in many sforim that the desire for money is something that's considered very ugly for a Jew to be involved in, thirsting and chasing money, or chasing for gashmias, chasing for worldly items. Afal pikein momoin shel isha yisraeli tzrichen l'shoimroi ma'oid. Still, the money of a Jew has to be watched over very carefully. Adarabba, and just the opposite, you would think, hey, but isn't that taivas momoin? If I'm so protective about my money and I'm watching it so carefully, that shows that I'm involved in taivas momoin. Rav Nosson Zal says, adarabba, just the opposite. Machmas shetaivas momoin meguna ma'oid. Because the desire for money is so disgusting, it's such a terrible item, v'yesh sakono gedoyla, and a person is in tremendous sakona when they go out into the marketplace of the world to earn the parnosa, shelo yipo letaivas momoin, that a person shouldn't get involved. At first, the person goes out to work to support his family. But unfortunately, most people, the vast majority of people that get involved first in just providing for the needs of their family, once they get into it, it becomes no longer just the chasing after filling the basic needs. But a person says, I need a better car, I need a better house, I need a fancier type of suit, the type of clothing I'm used to wearing, I want to move to a higher standard of living, and still higher and still higher. So this is one of the major risks that a person takes when they go out to earn a livelihood in a kosher way. However, a Jew is obligated to do this because of earning a livelihood, because of supporting his family, even though there's a tremendous sakona involved, that once you get involved in this, it has a tendency to suck the person in and to get the person that once he has 100, he wants 200 and 500 and 1,000 and falls into taivas momoin. Al kain, therefore, ze hamomoin shekvar hirviach bahashkochos yisborach al yidei ezem alochoi masu matno kiyotze. Therefore, the money that a Jew has already succeeded in earning through the hashkocha of Hashem, through whatever work or business that the person did, bevadai tzorech l'shomroi ma'oid, the person has to watch over it very carefully. Me'achar shesikein nafshoi begashmius veruchnius b'shvil zeh, because the person actually put his life on the line, begashmius and beruchnius, in order to earn this money. Beruchnius, he took away time from learning, time from davening. He left the yeshiva, he left the Beis Medrash. He went out to a world where people swear, where people steal, where women aren't dressed properly. All the different mechsholim that a person could possibly have in going out to the world to earn a livelihood, or all the sneaky, tricky, nasty things people do in business to outsmart each other and to hurt each other. And a person put himself into that place and involved himself in that kind of thing to earn a living. Therefore, once some money does come into his hand, he better be very watchful over it. This is why the Torah in one place tells us the story about Yaakov Avinu, who was traveling, and he crossed over a certain river, and then he ended up going back, crossing back to the other side of the river. The Gemara says because he had forgotten a couple of small little bottles there, pachim ktanim, things that cost a few cents. And Yaakov Avinu didn't say, forget it, it's no big deal, it's just a couple of dollars, or it's just a couple of agurot, it's no big deal. He made a big deal, and he bothered himself to go all the way back to cross the river and to put his life in jeopardy to encounter the Malach of Esav, all because of these pachim ktanim. Ki tzadikim memoinom choviv aleihem. Because the Gemara says that tzadikim respect, their money is very precious to them. This isn't because he has a certain wrong type of lust for money. Adarabba, just the opposite. Because tzaddikim hate being involved with things that take them away from Torah and away from tefillah, away from ruchnius, having to deal with these iskei olam, shetzrichim lasik b'shvil parnosa, the things they have to go through in order to earn a livelihood, because they end up losing out on learning Torah and other things. And yet they're forced to do it because they must provide their families with support. That's why this money or these things that the tzaddik acquires that comes into his possession, they watch over it very carefully, that they shouldn't lose it. So that he shouldn't have to go out and do more bittul Torah, another 8 hours of bittul Torah, an extra 8 hours, to make up for the $100 that he lost because he was careless. And a Jew who plays with this, a Jew who is careless in watching over their money, watching over their possessions, who poigem bebechinas hashgacha shlema. He's being poigem in the hashgacha proti of Hashem, because we believe that any money that a person earned came into his hands through special hashgacha proti, through kriyas yamsuf. Now, if he's careless and goes ahead and loses it, he or she, then he's poigem in hashgacha of Hashem, etc. Rabbi Nosson Zali adds on something about Hashavas Aveda, that a person who finds something that somebody else lost and returns it to them, that person adds to the Hashkoch of Hashem, a certain gift. Here again we see in a very serious, practical way, the advice of a rabbi to his students to understand what this is all about, how this is a responsibility that a Jew has to his family to earn a living, and how any money that comes to a person's hands, a person has to thank Hashem 1,000 times over, because the Torah says it is very difficult for a Jew to earn kosher money. And once a person gets hold of it, to watch how they spend it, each penny, each dollar, each mitzvah that it's used for, each good item that it's used for, to be jumping for joy, and certainly to avoid, chas v'shalom, squandering it or letting it go in a sinful type of way. It's interesting to note that in an earlier paragraph that we had a while back, Sif Kuf Tzadik Gimel, paragraph 193 in Sichos Saran, there Rabbeinu Zal compared money to digestion. Rabbeinu Zal said that there are a lot of similarities between achila, a person taking in food, and taking in money. For example, just as when a person eats, in order for the food to benefit their body, the food has to enter the body and stay there for a certain length of time. Sometimes, Rachmona Litzlan, the body has a sickness where a person can't retain what they're eating. The food goes in and comes out, comes right back out too quickly before the different organs of the body have a chance to benefit from the nutrients of that food, from the good things in that food. That's one of the examples where a person's achila is improper. At other times, there's a case of a person who's constipated, chas v'shalom, where a person can't get rid of, doesn't know when and how to get rid of the part of the food that needs to be gotten rid of. And Rabbeinu Zal says, so too we have a similar concept when it comes to money. Rabbeinu Zal says that when it comes to money also, a person has to have a koyach hama'akev. A person has to have reins on their pocket to be able to hold on to the money that they earn. Shelo yifazer mo'isov miyad. Not that the money comes in and goes out in a few seconds, but to be able to hold on to the money. And Rabbeinu Zal says, unfortunately, we find that there are many people who desire money very much, and they spend days and nights to earn it, and yet the second they get it, they spend it right away. They can't spend it fast enough. And Rabbeinu Zal says, that's this problem, this comparative problem in digestion, where a person takes in the food and gets rid of it before the body has a chance to benefit from it. And Rabbeinu Zal explained how tzaddikim like the Baal Shem Tov had a talent of knowing exactly how to take in money and how to distribute it perfectly well, so that even when the Baal Shem Tov had received money from Rishoim, he made sure that the money that he received for them was spent on comparable type of items, on the needs of his horses or his horsemen or other lowly items, whereas, in other words, each piece of money that came into him was dealt with in a particular way that was proper for that type of money, depending on the source that it came from. But here again, we see tremendous emphasis on realizing how important an item this is, how necessary it is, and how carefully a person has to be about holding on to it. We find another very interesting comment related to this in Chayim Aran, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about incidents that happened during his lifetime. We know that at one point in time, there were a series of fires in the city of Breslov, the city where Rabbeinu Zal lived. And in the end, even Rabbeinu Zal's own house was destroyed by fire. And this is one of the things that led up to his leaving the city of Breslov and moving to Uman. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal in a Torah Likutei Moharan explains how many, quite often, when a great tzaddik passes away, we find that one of the things that happens immediately afterwards is that there's an outbreak of fires. Rabbeinu Zal explains, because the tzaddik represents mo'ere oyer, a tzaddik represents a pillar of light for the world, And when the light is taken away, it's replaced by Eish, fire. Just like we invite the Shabbos into our home by the woman lighting candles on Friday night, that represents the Ma'orei Oyer. When the Shabbos leaves, the Oyer, the light and holiness of Shabbos leaves, that's when the fire begins. The Gemara says in Psochem that fire was invented on Moitzoi Shabbos. Adam Arishin made the discovery of fire on Saturday night. This concept of rubbing two sticks together to make fire. And this is one of the reasons why we make the Boirei Mohirei Oesh on Moitzoi Shabbos. So it's brought that at one of the times when one of these fires took place and it broke out, once one fire broke out on a Shabbos and the second fire broke out on Yom Kippur. And Rabbeinu Zal instructed his Talmidim to be very makil regarding the halachas of saving his money and saving his property. In terms of what they were allowed to carry out of the house, there are certain halachas in the Shulchan Aruch that describe what a person is allowed to do in the case of a fire on Shabbos, what they're allowed to save, what they're not allowed to save. So Rabbeinu Zal told his Talmidim to go very much lekula, to take the lighter view regarding this item. Rav Nosson Zal adds, naturally, we're talking about within the framework of halacha. We're talking about still what you're actually allowed to do. And Rabbeinu Zal, after Yom Kippur, spoke about this, and he told his Talmidim that there are many Sforim of Shilas and Shuvos that discuss this halacha, and they go to an extreme to be makil in this item, to show how a Jew is definitely permitted many leniencies above what's presented basically in the Gemara in terms of what you're allowed to save. The Poskim go to extremes to show how a person is allowed to do different kinds of tricks and other things to save a lot of his property. And Rabbeinu Zal stressed that it's wrong for a person to be machmir when it comes to this type of thing. And he said that he knows of people who, because of one chumrah, because they decided to be a little stricter in a certain mitzvah, they ended up being mevatel hours or days of Torah and Avodas Hashem because they decided to play a little bit chumrah in a particular item. And here again, Rabbeinu Zal said, how much effort does a person, how much time and sacrifice does a person put into earning their possessions, the apartment that they have and the furniture and all the different things that they have. And a person goes through tremendous bittul Torah and tefillah because of this. And then for one little chumrah, a person should allow himself to let the whole house burn down and to have all of his possessions destroyed. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that at that time, Rabbeinu Zal commented to his Talmidim that whenever he's traveling, he's always very careful with his money to make sure to put it into a pocket. He checks the pocket first to make sure that it has no holes in it. It's very secure. And he puts it bedafka in a pocket, in a chest pocket, not in a back pocket of his pants, but close to his heart, in a place where it's really well protected, like an inside pocket of his coat. And he's careful to see to it that there's no tear there, etc. And Rabbeinu Zal said, with all of that, while he's traveling, he's constantly checking his pocket to make sure that the money's still in there. And here again, the comment is brought in Chaim Aran that whenever Rabbeinu Zal would come across a person who lost a sum of money, and the person would come brokenhearted to Rabbeinu Zal to say he feels so bad, he lost this $100 or he lost something on the way, Rabbeinu Zal would tear into the person, be mevaza the person, that it was that person's fault, that they weren't careful enough to watch over what they needed. Because we know that the Gemara says that the definition of shoyta, we find that the term shoyta comes up in many halachas in the Gemara regarding which mitzvahs a shoyta is mechuyev to do, which mitzvahs a shoyta is potter from. Shoyta means a fool. And there's one place in the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga where the Gemara goes into a 2 or 3 page discussion on what's the definition of shoyta. And the Gemara offers a few possibilities, and each one of the possibilities is ruled out. And the maskona of the Gemara, the final word in the Gemara is that the correct definition in Yiddishkeit for a shoyta is hama'abed ma shenoisnim loy, a person who loses something that they're given, something important, something precious that's given to them. A child is given a present, a watch, or something else, a wallet, a toy, something like that, and he's not careful and he loses it or he breaks it, the Gemara says that that's the definition of shoyta. That's where a person is called, because it shows a lack of das. The intellect of a person is what has the person always with their eyes open, conscious of what's around them, and especially conscious and careful about these possessions that are earned with such great sacrifice. This is one item which I felt, again, a certain personal closeness. The fact that a tzaddik, like Rabbeinu Zal, is willing to discuss such an item with us on such a practical level and give a person an etza that could save a person a lot of aggravation. The fact that a person receives such an azhora from so great a tzaddik, this is enough of an excuse for this to stay with us for a whole lifetime and to save a person a lot of aggravation. A question as far as losing money being related to not spending money wisely. In this sif and Sichas Aran, there's a reference made to the earlier sif that we mentioned, where Rabbeinu Zal discussed this comparison between money and achila. And there, Rabbeinu Zal discusses this concept of a type of losing money, which is spending money too freely. That's also a concept of losing it. Usually when we talk about losing an item, let's say a person acquires a watch or something else, everything has a certain lifespan. That's an assumed item. The concept of losing something means that its presence in my possession was short-lived. That this watch that I had, or this car, that should have lasted so many years or so many days, depending on the nature of the item, how long it's supposed to be with me, and I end up letting go of it before I was supposed to. That kind of item. That's an inyan of an aveda, that I lost it before I was supposed to. I didn't hold on to it for the full length of time that it was supposed to be with me. Rav Nosson Zal discusses bichlal business, that when people do transactions in business, somebody sells an apartment, somebody else buys, that the exact moment, the exact second when the transfer of possession takes place is because this person's neshama at that point is supposed to give up this item. It no longer needs this item for its tikkun. And the other person who's buying it, the reason why they're buying it is because their neshama right now needs to have this item from this point in time on in order for the tikkun of that neshama. Rabbeinu Zal gives another example at Bichlal when a person's earning money. If a person doesn't train themselves to be able to know to pace themselves the right way and to budget themselves to work within their own means and to see to it that not every penny that they earn is spent, but a concept of saving money with the understanding that, let's say, people know that there are certain months in the year when they have to spend more money. Tishrei, Nisan, the months of the Yamim Tovim, when there are mitzvahs like Lulav, Esrei, buying an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which are discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. The Torah says that these are months in which you would want to be spending more. There's no way in the world a person's going to be able to spend more in Tishrei if he didn't save more in Elul, or in the months before. And a certain part of the burden of responsibility is on us to do this. The upsetness, the bizui, and the teichacha is brought specifically regarding aveda. I don't know, losing. I don't know if the same reference is made to spending unwisely. But they are put together, to some degree, they are put together. The next paragraph, that's total gashmias, supposedly. Although we see it's not gashmias, because money is Torah and Tefillah. The money that was earned is literally in place of Torah and Tefillah. That's the kind of sacrifice that a person makes to earn a living. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal once said to one of his Talmidim that when a person cuts himself off from tzaddikim, it's as if the person is worshipping idols. It's as if the person is being oyved avodah zorah. Why? Rabbeinu Zal explains, because the Zohar HaKadosh, in describing the concept of a tzaddik, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Zohar HaKadosh describes each one of the letters of the Aleph Beis and discusses the significance of the shape of each letter, what it represents, and not just each letter, but in certain cases, the sections which make up a letter. For example, the letter Aleph of the Aleph Beis, the Zohar HaKadosh discusses in about 6 or 8 different ways that the Aleph can be drawn. One of the ways, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is if we look at the form of an Aleph as it appears in the Sefer Torah, we picture it as a Yud on top, an upside down yud on bottom and a vav connecting them. Yud, yud, vav, 10 and 10 and 6 is bigimatria 26, which is Hashem's name yud ke vav ke. And the Zohar HaKadosh says we see the secret of Hashem's name in the letter Aleph itself, which represents Hashem. Rashi says in Chumash on the first day of creation, that why is it that by all the other days of creation, it says Yoim Sheni, Yoim Shlishi, Vayere Vayvoker, Yoim Sheni, Yoim Shlishi? If so, on the first day of creation, it should have said Yoim Rishon. Why does it say Vayere Vayvoker, Yoim Echod? So Rashi HaKadosh points out, this is to teach us that on the first day of creation, there was only one item in the world, only Hashem. That Echod represents Hashem, Aleph, one. We see how Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is hidden in that letter Aleph. And the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to explain each and every single letter of the Aleph Beis in clear detail. The Zohar HaKadosh says, which part of the Aleph Beis represents the Tzaddik? The Tzaddik is called the Koitzoi Do'ois Dalid. We know that there are two letters in the Aleph Beis that are very similar, which are the Reish and the Dalid. The way they're written in a Sefer Torah, the only thing that distinguishes the Dalet from the Reish is a little bit of extra ink, a little thorn-like on the end of the Reish that's added on, that changes the Reish into a Dalet. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the Koitze, the Ois Dalet, that's the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik represents that little pintala that's added on to a Reish to make it into a Dalet. And when a person separates himself from the Tzaddik, then what he's actually doing is he's chopping off that tip of the Dalid and converting it to a Reish, which means we know that there are two words in the Sefer Torah that are presented in great prominence. In Parshas Voeschanan, Hashem gives the command to Bnei Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alekeinu, Hashem Echod, and the letter Dalid in the Sefer Torah, the Dalid of Echod, is written twice as large as a regular Dalet. It's a very large Dalet there, stressing the oneness of Hashem. There's another place in the Sefer Torah where Hashem says to Bnei Israel, Loi sishtachave lekel acher. Do not bow down or worship any other type of idol, anything to replace Hashem, chas v'shalom. And there the resh of acher is written, again, twice as large as any regular letter, that Reish of Acher. And the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh stress that this is the whole Judaism. The whole Yiddishkeit is based on the difference between that Reish and the Dalid, the Kel Acher versus the Hashem Echod. The Zohar HaKadosh says, in fact, that the two words, Kel Acher, are Bigimatria Amolek. When we talk about Amolek being the symbol of the Avi Avos HaTumah, the worst threat to Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk testifies, Reishis Goyim Amolek, that Amolek is considered the leader of all of our tzoros, all of our troubles. This Amolek is Bigimatria Kel Acher. He represents this Avodah Zorah, the opposite of Hashem. He's symbolized by Kel Acher, whereas the concept of emuna, our faith in Hashem, is in this concept, the main stress is Hashem Echod. And the Shulchan Aruch says a person is supposed to stress that Dalid. That Dalid is supposed to be said a little bit heavy, not like Echod, not as if there were a Shvo under it, but not coming to an abrupt stop, underlining that Dalid, showing that we emphasize Echod versus Acher. Now, these are Rabbeinu Zal's words, and Rabbeinu Zal also said that the main concept of emuna in Hashem, a person receives only through tzaddikim amitiim. If a person wants to have faith in Hashem, the ikar emuna is toloi in coming close to true tzaddikim. These are Rabbeinu Zal's words in this paragraph, and this is something we'd like to elaborate on a little bit. If a person takes a look in the Chumash, in Parshas Beshalach, right after the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, we know that when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, Hashem flexed his muscles in a very big way. Hashem inflicted the 10 makos on Mitzrayim, and what Hashem did to them at the Yam, at the crossing of the Red Sea, also the miracles that took place there, the Hizgalus of Hashem. The fact that the miracles were done in such an open way, where the pasuk, the Gemara says, "Ro'aso shivcho alayom mashalei ro Yecheskel ben Buzi," that the smallest Jew that was present at Kriyas Yamsuf saw Hashem more clearly than the greatest of the prophets, Yecheskel Anovi, didn't see Hashem as clearly as this Shifcho Alayam saw him. This is how clearly the Emunah in Hashem, and as the Torah testifies, Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi, that the Emunah in Hashem was heightened at that point to a crescendo, to the highest peak that it ever was. We find shortly afterwards, the Torah says that the Yidden left a place called Rephidim, and then Vayovoi Amalek. Amalek came, Vayilochem b'Yisrael, and he did milchama against Bnei Yisrael. And the Torah says over there that what initiated this milchama on the part of Amalek, the Torah says over there that they tested Hashem, that the Yidden over there were looking to test Hashem, their faith. They left a place called Masa Umarivo, Al Nasoisem es Hashem. They were testing Hashem. They were starting to play with their faith a little bit, and immediately Amalek came to attack them. And the Torah says that Amalek's attack was very strong, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ksoiv zois zikoron basefer v'sim bosni Yeshua," write this down forever and tell Yeshua into his ears that milchomo l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor, that the war against Amalek is going to continue from generation to generation. That's how this war is going to be. The Bnei Yisochar explains that why does the Torah use bedafka this wording, milchomo l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor? The war is between Hashem and Amalek. And that war is from generation to generation, because this word doer, dalid reish, represents the whole concept of this milchama, that the war between Hashem and Amalek is this war of Hashem echod versus kel acher, which is bigimatria Amalek. The concept of emunah, faith in Hashem, versus idol worship. Now, a person would say, idol worship, that's such a remote item, that has nothing to do with us. The Zohar HaKadosh says, no thank you. The Zohar HaKadosh says, anybody whose faith in Hashem is imperfect, a person believes in Hashem 99%, and they just have a little bit of suffek, just a tiny little bit of doubt, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that word suffek is bigimatria Amalek. Samach pei kuf is bigimatria Amalek. Amalek represents idol worship, and Amalek represents even a tiny percentage of idol worship. The tiniest deficiency in Emunah represents already a little bit of standing on the other side of the fence, standing on the side of the fence of idol worship. As the Baal Shem Tov interpreted the sentence in the Kriya Shema, Visartem va'avadatem elokim acherim, that if the Jews will turn away from Hashem, Visartem, the tiniest turn, 1 degree away from Hashem, is a turn in the direction of Vavadatem Alekim Acherim, idol worship. It's one or the other. Anything that's missing over here, if a person subtracts a little from here, automatically they're buying into that other place called Avodah Zorah. And this is the Milchama Midoyer Doyer. Now the question is, where did this Milchama first begin? Where does this originate from? We find that Hashem gave instructions to Adam and Chava that Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Teuchel, they were permitted to eat from all the trees in Gan Eden, except for one, except for the Eitz Hadas Toivora, except for a certain tree that had good and bad mixed into it, that they weren't allowed to eat from. They ended up taking advice from the Nochosh, from the snake, and as a result of that advice, they ate from the Eitz Hadas. And this resulted in death. And one of the curses that Hashem said to them at that time was, V'koitz v'dardar tatzmiach loch, that as a result of this pigam of going against Hashem, instead of believing Hashem's, taking Hashem's word for it, that if you eat from this tree, it's going to do harm for you, instead of doing that, you listen to the snake's advice, the result is going to be that now when you're going to try to plant apples or vegetables or fruit, anything like that, instead of it producing what you want it to produce, things are going to be sheloi kaseder. Things are going to be upside down, where you're going to plant fruit, and instead what's going to grow from it is going to be thorns. Kites means thorns, dardar means like thistles. The Bnei Yisochar says, based on the Zohar Kodesh, what is this kites v'dardar? The dardar represents this pigam in emunah, and going into Avodah Zarah, going against the command of Hashem, means exchanging the Dalid for the Reish. That's this secret of Dardar, this Dalid exchange for the Reish. The word Koitz, which means a thorn, spelled Kuf Vov Tzadik, 196, Koitz is the difference between Dalid and Reish. Dalid is 4, Reish is 200. The difference is 196, this word koitz, a thorn. This is why the tzaddik is represented by the koitz. He's this koitz of the Dalit, because he's the one who takes a Jew from Reish, a Jew from who's lacking faith in Hashem, and he elevates him to the true perfection of Emunah in Hashem, to this Hashem Echod. He takes him from Reish to Dalit. This is why Rabbi Nazar brings in a different chapter in Likutei Moran that we know that the worst level that a Jew could fall into in not believing in Hashem is called Shmad. Shmad means when a person gives up their faith in Hashem, their faith in the Torah completely. The highest level of Kiddusha in religion, in terms of closeness to Hashem, is called Ratzon. Ratzon means I want. I want only what Hashem wants. We know that a Jew can't do for Hashem. The Gemara says, you're going to do for Hashem. You put up a mezuzah on your door, Hashem laughs. You put up a mezuzah. I gave you a house, you gave me a mezuzah. You want to compare notes? You put on tzitzis, I gave you a whole set of clothing. You did a bris milah, I gave you a whole body. So in terms of us doing for Hashem, a Jew doesn't really do for Hashem. What we can give is our desire, our ratzon. That's what Hashem loves the most. And that's why the holiest time of the week, which is Shabbos at Mincha, is called Eis Ratzon. We say, Vanis vilosi l'cha Hashem Eis Ratzon. Ratzon represents the epitome of Kiddusha. Rabbi Nazal says that the difference between Shmad and Ratzon, Shmad represents atheism. Shmad is Shin Mem Dalid, 344. Ratzon, Reish Tzadik Vav Nun, is 346. Right in the middle, you have 345, which is Moshe, the Tzadik. The Tzadik stands in between Shmad and Ratzon. His mission is to bring Jews over from the lowest levels of Emunah to the highest peak of Emunah and Kiddusha, which is called Ratzon. And this is this secret of this Dalid and Reish, and the Tzaddik being this Koitz Da'ois Dalid. This is why we find, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to receive the Torah on Har Sinai, and Hashem told him to warn the Jews to be careful, Penyer Sulalo Yisrael Hashem V'nofal Mimenu Amrov, that if they dare to try to come too close to Hashem, they'll be killed, they'll be burned in the process. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Raid ho'ed ba'om. Go down and warn the people not to try to get too close to Hashem. Note this word, raid, again. The warning was to be careful about this delicate process of the Reish and the Dalid. That if a person tries to go too close to Hashem, just like being far from Hashem is a concept of Kfira, so too if a person tries to be too chummy with Hashem, Chas Hashem, person tries to get too close, a person gets burned. That's also a pigam in Emunah. Acher, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, again, one who is an apikoris is called Acher. The Gemara says one of the rabbis of the Gemara who lost his faith was called Acher, the opposite of this Echod. There's a lot more to say on this, but we're limited in time. We're limited in the time of the tape. For now, we'll let this suffice. Maybe we'll add, there's one other important piece which we might add in the next shiur. However, in any case, Rabbi Nazar wanted to stress this point, that it's tzaddikim, the tzaddik, who represents, who the Zohar HaKadosh calls this koitz da'ois dalit, he represents this tiny pintala that makes the difference between the dalit and the reish. He's the one who has the capability of taking the Jew into Emun and Hashem. We find the Shulchan Aruch, where it discusses the laws of respect for one's rabbi. There's a whole discussion as to what's the definition of a Rebbe Muvhok. Who is called a person's rabbi? If a person has 10 rabbis in their life, or 30 rabbis, which one is called Rabbi Muvhok, where there are certain halachos that are stricter related to that rabbi, how a person conducts himself to that rabbi, as to any of their other rabbis? And the maskana there again is, there's a discussion whether it's the one who taught him Roiv Chachmasai, the majority of the knowledge that he has of Torah. The maskana is that it's the one who brought him close to Emuna in Hashem. That's the major function of a rabbi, to strengthen a Jew's faith in Hashem, because Emuna is kolel everything. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kol mitzvoisecha Emuna. That Emuna is something that's kolel the entire Torah. The Gemara says, Bo Chavakuk vehemidon alachas, v'tzadik be'emunoso yichye. That when Chavakuk Hanavi wanted to summarize the entire Torah in one mitzvah, it was v'tzadik be'emunoso yichye. That a Jew who has faith alone, that's enough to give him this title, tzadik. Halavai, we should be zeicha to do everything in our power to come close to tzadikim, and to come close to their sforim, and in the zechus of coming close to tzaddikim, they should correct anything that's lacking, anything that's missing in our faith in Hashem, in our faith in the Torah. The Gemara says, "Lo yichorvo Yerushalayim ad sheposko mimenu anshei Amona." That the churban Yerushalayim, the churban of the Beis Hamikdash.